Welcome to Configure It Done, the podcast where SAP leaders share real insights, proven strategies, and stories from front lines of major SAP transformations. Get inspired, get informed, get it done.
We've invested a lot of time in the S4 do's and don'ts series. And I just want to say a big shout out to our marketing manager, Kira. She's created a new resource hub called the S4 Do's and Don'ts Resource Hub. And that's gone live as well. And this podcast today with another guest that we've got will be put into that resource hub. So the whole aim of that resource hub is if I'm a program manager or if I'm a business looking to implement S4, you can easily go to this resource hub. And we've got a catalogue of 30-second videos from senior people like Julian, offering their insights and guidance. But Che, you've brought along a fantastic guest today. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bienvenue, Julian. I thought I'd start with that.
Merci. Merci.
Well, look, yeah, thanks so much, Julian, for coming in. Obviously, I know you've been working in the consulting industry for all years. So
you'd like to introduce yourself
and what you've been doing recently?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thanks for having me. So yeah, I'm Julian, so Julian Foyal, and I've been working in the consulting space for 26 years. Initially joined Anderson Consulting back in France, which then became Accenture. And I've been working in the technology space, SAP, for, you know, all of that time. I work across geographies. So I had, the chance to work across geographies. I worked, in the UK. I've worked in Japan, worked in Australia now. And then I've also had the opportunity working on, a number of, larger programs of work, working across industries. So I've worked, for instance, in like oil and gas, worked in, financial services, public sector, and lately a fair bit in, consumer goods, like retail, as well as like life science, healthcare, industry. In terms of the roles, so I started back in the day as an ABAPer. So I started, as a developer. And then I actually moved on into more of the technology field by becoming then a business consultant. And then I started to gain more experience working then as a technology architect. And then I've been running different roles as a, project manager, program manager, delivery lead. I've also been certified like solution architect, technology architect, delivery as well. And then over the last few years, started to move into running go-to markets for SAP Cloud, and later for RISE. And then finally data and AI over the last year or so. And that across Asia Pacific, as well as is called growth markets. Yeah, that's me, I think, in a nutshell, from my experience.
Yeah, fantastic. Wow. So starting as an ABAPer as well, that's a long journey, I would imagine, to where you are now, which is...
back on R3 and after many iterations of,
absolutely.
SAP.
Brilliant. Well, I know that we've got a really, really interesting topic today. Obviously, AI, data, as you mentioned, and go to market. So, yeah, I'd love for you to introduce the topic for today of AI and go to market.
Yeah, sure. So look, I was actually reflecting on the, with Gen AI, there's a big push in the data and AI space. And in my role as the go-to-market lead, I had to set up a brand new offering. And I was reflecting back to the cloud journey. So back in 2017, I was tasked with a similar job to set up the SAP cloud go-to-market. And, fast forward to now, there's a lot of things that we know that we didn't know at the time. And with data and AI, though it's hot, I think it's very similar. There's similar,
it's all about very high expectations, but a lot of
unknown. And I was drawing some analysis and comparison from that journey. And I was seeing a lot of similarities. So I thought it would be good to share those. And not to say I have all the answers, but I felt like there's a lot of things that kind of do seem to resonate. So as an example, like with cloud and with data and AI, there's those questions like,
what is it? What does it need for me as a business? So I'll probably
try and think from a client standpoint, but also like the system integrator. But foremost as a client, so what does it mean for me? What is the value? What is going to be the cost? What does it mean in terms of my workforce? And what are the kind of the return on investment I can gain from it? And also, should I actually do it or not? And to me, again, looking at cloud, there's some learnings with the cloud journey that definitely, I think, applies to the data analysis. So I think that would help, I suppose, as a client, if you're wondering what to do, to probably think about those elements and then see how it applies to your specific situation so that you can probably go in an informed way into that journey.
So you mentioned there a customer. If you look at it from their perspective, or even a systems integrator as well, can you describe what that data and AI journey is?
Yeah, sure. So to me, it's really about, I guess, what the client is typically where they are. So in terms of their business, maybe the maturity and some of the business challenges that they're trying to solve. And it's about what are the entry points and the pathways. So similar to cloud, I guess, there's a question of, are you at the start of the journey or in the middle or at the end? So with data and AI, similarly, you can look at where a particular client is, what are the problems, and then kind of bring that element into their specific situation. If I look at it from an SAP perspective as well, I think with SAP, there was also this realization that SAP had also their own cloud journey. I think it's fair to say that they were quite late in terms of adopting cloud and then moving. I think there were a lot of other actors like SaaS, software as a service players that were already very much embracing leveraging cloud. And SAP, they were quite late. But eventually, 2021, RISE was introduced, and I think they started to catch on. And similarly with data and AI, I see the same shift. I think a year ago, when SAP were on stage, they would probably talk about it, but it was not super meaningful. Nowadays, it becomes a lot more tangible. So I think there was latest announcement around the SAP Business Data Cloud with Business AI, with DataSphere. And then now with the partnership with Databricks, I think it's starting to make a lot more sense in terms of the components of their offering. And to me, that shows that that maturity is there, and therefore clients, especially with a center of gravity around SAP, can benefit from that.
It's interesting with SAP. They almost watch other companies do it first, and then they do it, because, like you're saying, it's like it wasn't meaningful at the start, and now it is meaningful. Do you find that as well with SAP or?
No, absolutely. They definitely. I see that. Actually, I was thinking about some of the client engagement that I've been involved with. So, just to give maybe some flavor, but so one early adopter I've seen was one of my first clients when I took on this role, data and AI, running the go to market, etc. Was a pharmaceutical client in Greater China, and very innovative. And initially, when I look at the opportunity from a system integrator standpoint, it felt like not super exciting because it was fairly technical in nature. But then I started to kind of investigate it a bit further. I realized that they were really onto something in terms of the innovation angle. And at the time, there was not the same maturity that SAP has in terms of the product suite. And the approach I took and we took as a team was to basically leverage AI technology solutions like Snowflake, which is somewhat equivalent to Databricks, in terms of going away from the approach typically, which is take your data out of your core SAP, put it into a data lake. I think that's been going on for quite some time, but there's been some lessons there in terms of that actually is not necessarily always helping. This is creates kind of a mess outside of SAP. So here, the idea was to take sources of data from different places, including SAP, leverage Databricks as the AI and data and AI solution to kind of get the insights out of the core SAP. So that was kind of the first experience I've had, and to me it resembles a bit what we saw earlier with cloud, where clients would go like kind of a brownfield approach, like migrate to cloud, maybe create their own private cloud. So that's a bit similar, not to the extent where the client went and created their own machine learning and own AI solution. But it just showed that first step of early adopters. And then another example would be like a a client I've seen in a beverage company in Australia, where they're a bit more mature. They're already advanced in their cloud journey. They already have SAP S4 running in the cloud, and they want to do more around data and AI. So, leveraging BTP, and understanding the data, and then starting to run some, use cases with data and AI. So more like light touch, a bit more mature, a bit more down that journey, but still being able to bring some value. And that client was quite mature as well. I mean, in terms of, engaging their workforce around running, like, for instance, a hackathon and having innovative ideas coming to them, finding problems, and then looking at, those use cases and the solution leveraging AI in this instance. And then I think the final example is probably the one where, so that's an oil and gas customer in Southeast Asia, where they are embarking on a broader transformation. So, S4, Greenfield, like transformation. And then infusing AI in that. So looking at some of the business processes and looking at some of the use cases and then leveraging that AI capability as well. And then maybe more of a mix of SAP and other solutions that complement that as well. So I've seen all of those kind of different scenario, and to me they resemble quite well, like the cloud journey, brownfield or the greenfield, or am I at the start or at the end of the journey or in the middle, and then how can I bring some value with a particular level of investment?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess you mentioned there obviously around SI's side of things as well, but from client's perspective, what does the data and AI journey look like, I guess, within the SAP landscape? And how would you say that partners should frame their narrative when engaging with customers?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. And I think from a SAP perspective, that's something I've learned when I've been running the data AI go-to-market, because it was not necessarily targeted only to SAP customers. It was actually targeted to customers that, use enterprise application. So that is SAP, Oracle, Workday, I mean, you name it. So to me, it opened a bit my perspective in terms of actually we need to understand like the client's problem. And also we need to respect what the client, in the sense that they know their business. So they know what works, what doesn't work, what might be the pain points, and not come with the answer without listening to what the client is asking and what the problem is. So that's been a big learning. And why I say this is because looking at it from a business perspective and looking at it, from a client eyes or a point of view, you realize that, it's about the business and the business has an application that supports that. And surely you might have SAP as the core, maybe finance, asset management or supply chain. But then there's other things and those other things that are not necessarily SAP. So nowadays it's kind of moving from SAP wall to wall to SAP for the core and then best of breed. But more than that is really understanding the client. So as an example, I was working on a particular deal for, a large supermarket in Australia, not to name it.
I love it. You're not mentioning customers. Yeah, it's good.
Could be one or the other.
Yeah.
And yes, like when I was called into the bid team to understand the problem, I actually realized that, there was a solution already without having really look at the problem statement. So I kind of spent a bit of time to revisit the problem statement, and I realized again that there's a bit of a mismatch between the answer and the question, because that could have worked maybe in the past. So similar to cloud, there've been some lessons as well in terms of what is the standard answer for cloud, and then when you're a lot more informed, There's a different answer, because all the clients are different, and some have different circumstances. So context is different, and therefore the answer has to be tailored to their needs. So yeah, so that was one of the key. To me, the key tip, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to pivot the conversation. A lot of there's a lot of talk around ROI and how customers calculate that when they move into the cloud. Have you got any examples or like any KPIs or any metrics when calculating ROI? Yeah.
Yeah. So I From a methodology perspective, there's a similar approach, I suppose, from as an system integrator when looking at the value. So for cloud and then for data and AI, so it brings some additional parameters. But I would say, if I look back again, try to draw those lessons learned from the cloud journey.
I think it's very striking. Initially with cloud, it was all about
TCO, so total cost of ownership, cost reduction. So it was basically, you're going to save money, so you have to go to cloud, and basically it's a no-brainer. Over time, that narrative kind of started to be a bit eroded, so clients started to realize that's not necessarily true because...
It's not, is it? Yeah.
It's business case that does not always stack up. So to me, yeah, similarly for data and AI, I took that in,
As a starting point to say, it's not going to be just about cost and reductions. So to me, what I've seen pay well is obviously
to break it down in terms of quantitative and qualitative benefits. So you can maybe improve your productivity and reduce some of the costs and so on. Then from and it's a bit harder to measure, but from a qualitative standpoint, you will have benefit as well, increase your time to market or increase your client engagement, or even increase probably client your employee satisfaction. As mentioned earlier, this example with this beverage company that is running the hackathon, that's kind of fairly innovative, and people are very very engaged because they get excited. So that to me, though it's hard to put a figure, it should be part of the business case.
I was going to say it's really tough if you're a CFO sitting there and you've invested millions and millions and millions into your on-prem, and then all of a sudden it's like we've got to invest more to go to the cloud. And I think that ROI piece is the real sticking point.
100%.
Have you got any tips on how to get over that?
So definitely, what I've seen work well define the success criteria, the KPIs upfront. It's not necessarily easy to do, but it's I think it pays dividends. So looking at again the pain points and the opportunities, and then translating this into KPIs. So there was a client, like an oil and gas company in Australia, where we did that really well, I think, where we spent quite some time to define that, to say what it is that is
problematic today, ensuring that this is what we are cutting at the end of the process.
And it could be anything. It could be, for instance, infrastructure is reaching end of life, a system is not stable, we're having performance issues.
So what was different from that oil and gas customer to others? Like, what made that so good?
It was really good because it was really we said this is what's going to be a measure of success, and at the end we visit that points after points, and we said we've met that. So there was no argument in terms of the result. Whereas if you don't do that, then it's open to interpretation. What is the measure of success? So it can go down the line, and then people might say not happy with the solution or the outcome. It's a bit similar to when you do nowadays for customization. If you do design thinking and et cetera, you want to ensure you understand the requirement properly, and you have some elements of validation throughout the process, so that at the end you don't have a bad surprise. So to me, that was definitely it has been a recipe for success.
So I'd say don't look at it in a too single or simplistic way. And
break it down early, and then just measure as you tag along. So do you have the right outcome at the end?
So you mentioned Julian as well. Obviously, you last going off when you were working in your most recent role around sort of you pivoted into that go to market kind of piece. So what I was keen to sort of understand is, when developing a go to market strategy, how should a company differentiate?
Yes. So I think I touched a bit on some of the elements. So I'll try to add on those. So in terms of your differentiation, specifically, I guess as a system integrator, I mentioned you need to listen to the client's needs, understand what is the problem, you know, not, do not come with a solution or come with a, you know, kind of a technology answer to a business problem. So it needs to be, you know, needs to be tailored. In terms of the recipe for success, I think is, you know, you have basically an additional element, I suppose, with data and AI. So up to now, probably it was a question of, for instance, so again, maybe we'll go back to SAP. So SAP, there's a, that kind of imperative to go to maybe to S4 or go to RISE or grow like private or public cloud. There's the impending doom with the licensing, you know, kind of running out of support for ECC customers by 2027 and then the extension until 2030. And as I said, like the narrative and the value case, the business case to move means that a lot of clients are still, you know, still haven't moved. I think there's a high percentage of clients that are still on legacy.
I think 70%.
Yeah. Which is quite crazy. Yeah. So I think the good thing is adding that AI element. You could argue, oh, it's you know, making it more complex or harder, but actually to me it adds another perhaps entry point or angle to say, oh, that might bring some additional incentive for me to move. And it also adds the ability to maybe play with some scenarios early. So it's not like with perhaps, I guess, cloud, though there's some parallel here as well. So with the SAP core, you might say, well, I need to move to cloud and it takes some time, but you still might be able to experience using maybe BTP, which is somewhat, you know, hosted outside your core SAP anyway. So it gives a bit of an understanding of what cloud is, or when you have other application that sits on SaaS, so it gives also that experience. So I think with AI, you have that ability to not have to go through the whole journey to get some results. You can actually start with some pockets. Though obviously there's some prerequisites. So you need to have the right, probably the right skills, the right tools, maybe the right data and so on. But I think it brings that that additional richness, or which may resonate with some clients. So to me, that's that adds that incentive. As I was thinking, maybe from a system integrator standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of buzzwords, a lot of push, but I would take with a bit of a grain of salt as well. So because for instance, talk about a lot about Gen AI, but sometimes it's not all about Gen AI. You know, it might be AI, it might be automation, it might be something totally different actually. So so not necessarily going to be always Gen AI is the answer. Having said that, the good thing as well is for the system integrators, they can actually leverage some of the, you know, this new capability rather, to help run programs. So I've seen this work well on, for instance, a pharmaceutical client in Europe. They were the system integrator here was quite innovative in a sense that they actually brought a lot of the new set of tools that are leveraging, data and AI to support the project transformation. So what I think is good there is it's not necessarily we're going to, go into a data AI journey as part of the implementation per se, but rather bring it to help accelerate the program of work and get some insights. And it could be as simple as, having an agent to interrogate on how the program is going, what are the dependencies between the different streams, helping with the reporting, helping with documentation, etc. So it's kind of on the side, but it brings that innovative approach and probably somewhat infuse that and inspires the client. So I think it then fuels that different approach. And it can be very, very disruptive in a sense, and in a positive sense, so that instead of perhaps looking at it from the program is going to be yet another 2 to 3 or 4 years transformation, and it's going to cost us a lot, and we're not sure we're going to get benefit, to something a bit different where you say, wow, actually, this is really different. Like it's really disruptive in that sense, innovative. And therefore, you kind of pause. And we've seen clients do that, like they pause and they realize, we probably want to take that approach for our own, program of work, like the scope, and revisit the scope. So for this pharmaceutical client, I think it, it resonated a lot because you might have, you might know, but you know, the typical best use case for data and AI is around, finding new, medicine or formulas or, running trials. And that really helps like big time. So to them, I think that's why it resonated, and it kind of unlocked a different approach where they said, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and let's revisit the whole program because we want actually to get that as part of the program as well, not just for supporting it, but as well as the output of the transformation. So to me, that's where, as an SI, you can take this revised approach to say, well, you have other ways to do things that you didn't have before. And you have different levels of granularity. You don't need to go crazy. But just infusing can already mean a lot and differentiate a lot, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. No, that's awesome. And I guess when you're talking around, you mentioned around sort of, not pushing, I guess, technology as a solution into, the problem, right? One challenge, I guess, many face is potentially pushing something towards a client, but without truly understanding what that challenge is, right? So how can, I guess, companies avoid those kinds of pitfalls, would you say?
Yeah, so definitely back to my point around, ensuring you have airtime with the client and understand the client, don't come with a preconceived, answer. Specifically, from a go-to-market, often I see this, I guess, or I saw this, in terms of system integrators, you have like playbooks that you kind of come to the meeting with the client with. You have your pre-prepared answer. So that definitely is important. I would say I've seen in those discussions with clients, like a lot of clients where they're quite mature. So you don't want also to underestimate clients.
Do you think that happens a lot, Julian? Yeah,
I do feel so. Yes, yeah. I mean, like in terms of perhaps underestimating, but I've seen a lot of clients that are very savvy. I've saw this with cloud, definitely. So, where clients were challenging us, they were challenging me a lot on the business case and the value and why they should make the investment, typical, we've already invested so much to go to S4 or to cloud, and now we have to go to, RISE, or we need to go to the next step of the journey, and it starts to irritate the clients. So with data and AI, similarly, I've had some exposure, for instance, to a beauty client or retail client in the beauty space here in Australia, where the whole C-suite, invited us and, had to provide a bit of a point of view. But they, they've already had done a fair bit of homework, so they know where to push in terms of what are the hard questions to raise. And again, it was the whole C-suite, so it goes from the CEO to the CIO, the CFO, and they're all very much well versed in that regard. So, not to say all clients are as mature, but I've seen that, and I've seen also other clients, for instance, one in Australia in specializing in supply chain, where they quite smart in the approach where they call for the key players, like ecosystem players. So they'll probably call SAP, they'll call AWS, you name it, and come for like a half a day or all day workshop and get to test on different topics. And that, I think, is, it's very, very good because you can get a lot of, the right intel and kind of test early those ideas apply to the specific problems that the client have. So to me, it kind of answers the point where there's a pitfall to come and with pre-prepared kind of answer, but actually have to really engage and discuss because, and that's probably sorry my last word, but I think on the data and AI front, it's quite clear when you kind of everyone can talk the talk, but not a lot of people can actually walk the talk. So I think it can last for some time where you can actually talk about it, but eventually you have to show something tangible, and I don't think a lot of people can do that. So and clients sees it. So if you are your stuff and you're good as a system integrator, then I think you can do well and you can partner with your client as they become, or they see you as a trusted advisor. Because from a data and AI standpoint, it's very much more nowadays a bit like a black box. It was to some extent with cloud, though we now understand what's behind the scenes. With data and AI, there's some elements that it's hard to decipher because of the nature of the solution itself. Mm-hmm. Some of the machine learning, etc. I mean, the way it's trained, etc. You don't necessarily have all of the keys. So that's why it's important to have that trusted relationship.
Yeah. Sure. So when it comes to data and AI, then Julian, if I'm a customer and I'm right at the beginning, if you could pass on your tips or your lessons to that customer, you know, what would they be?
No, sure. So I think, I mean, the most fundamental lesson, I suppose, is data. So we cannot overlook the importance of the data. So I mean, there's probably a way to put it is if you have garbage data, it's kind of garbage in, garbage out. So the data is critical. So it can't be underestimated because if you have the right data, then you have can have great output in terms of the data and AI strategy. Curating the data, is important. Having a good data strategy, having data, clean data, etc.
So before these programs, should customers really invest in their data and get that right before moving into these programs?
I would think probably look at it from first with the problem statement, look at potential solution, and then starting to work on the data, because you probably don't want to go and work on the data uninformed, because there's things that maybe you might not be, necessarily need to do, but there's things that you do.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah, just maybe to prioritize. But what is good is it puts quite an emphasis now on all of the data work that in the past maybe would probably be a bit mundane to some extent. So the whole data strategy, the data management, the data migration, the analytics, all this now is taking a kind of a new light. We'll probably do it in a bit of a lock steps. To be on the safe side, because. Yeah, because there's also a lot of data, and some of the data is not necessarily relevant. So it's about also understanding that. Because as you go a bit further in the journey, when you use the data and AI capability, there's actually some data that you don't need, and you can actually deselect that data.
It's a really good tip, because we get customers saying, look, we want to get our data right first before moving in. But yeah, if you're doing it all, that could, and you might not use some of that. So I think it's a really good piece of advice there, yeah. Any other lessons that you would share?
Yeah, I think the point earlier, I'm still probably would reiterate. It sounds maybe like a broken record, but definitely the listening to the clients and then the understanding the problem that helps in terms of then finding the right entry points, the pathways, etc. So because again, it's all clients are very different, as I said, like the maturity, some of the pain points. There's also some things that work well. So understanding that as well, not undermining things that are going well as well, because it's a combination of pain points, but also the opportunities. So to me, that's I think it's critical, because I've seen it many times where it's totally missed, and it has a detrimental effects and impacts. So. I would say this is important.
Okay.
Yeah. So just before, I guess, wrapping up here, Julian, what I wanted to just to ask is, do you have any sort of last thoughts on how, I guess, companies can bridge the gap between understanding their business needs and effectively deploying SAP cloud and AI solutions?
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think we mentioned a lot of clients are still like kind of in the legacy world to some extent. So to me, there's an option here for those clients to start with their journey and leveraging that new capability. So that brings new ways to approach it and new innovation. So I think that's a good thing in terms of being able to start. So look at it from that angle. To me as well is, at times, I guess with all the buzz with Gen AI, there's kind of a bit of a pressure around maybe this perception of fear of missing out, and so I would kind of take this as a bit of a reverse pressure, not necessarily feel pressured, but take this as an opportunity, because you can actually start at any point in time early, and it can be as simple as just starting to experiment. looking at a problem that you turn into a use case, or maybe investing in the value case, like the business case, or starting to deploy some proof of concept. And then from there, you can start to scale. So for me, it's beneficial. I've seen this with clients where they start to invest and do some pockets in terms of projects where they play with data and AI. So I would say the good thing is, so if I go back maybe to the cloud parallel, is with cloud, there was this saying where we were basically saying it's not a question of if you will go to cloud, it's a question of when you will go to cloud. I think with data and AI, to me, it's more of an element of now. You can do it at any time. Again, the question of do you want to, do you need to? But ultimately, you can basically start any time. There's less of a prerequisite in terms of the building blocks, I think, depending on the specific circumstances and the maturity where you can actually get things started. So definitely, I encourage to start experimenting, and from there building the knowledge, the experience, and start scaling. I think that will bring a lot of value.
Julian, so there are two really, really good points there. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I think it's a bit similar to with the cloud move. If you like it from you go from ECC to S4, or you go from on-premise to the cloud, if you just do the move without thinking about the strategy, about the benefit, then I think that's where you kind of miss the point, and where you don't necessarily get the desired outcome. So like, if you go to cloud, but I haven't thought about the approach.
As an example, you might not get an optimized
solution. So I've seen some clients where the billing would be quite onerous. So then it kind of undermines the business case, and you don't get the benefit. So you need to think about whether you implement auto scaling, like startup and shutdown, and so you can have the right solution in terms of like sizing the virtual machine, and so all that needs to be baked in. So that's for kind of the cloud element. For SAP, similarly, if you go from ECC to S4, yeah, sure, you can do that. But actually, the business processes are not necessarily the same in ECC and S4. They're further optimized. So that needs to be thought through. And then you can start to have benefit, because you don't necessarily need to go through the same number of steps that you used to. So that I think also applies to your data and AI journey. So it's not just about moving. It's about thinking about the strategy and what you're going to get out of it.
Because similarly, it is actually quite expensive as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the solution, in terms of the effort, etc. So you need to apply that to early in the process, in the journey. So I think that's important as well to consider.
So it's not just a lift and shift. It's almost like a change of thinking. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Excellent. All right, Julian, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Julian.
Thank you, Chair.
Merci.
Derrière.